I'm really going to miss this team. I think we could have won a national title. Fate intervened, but they deserve to keep playing. But they don't have a chance to live that last moment, whether you're going to win or lose. And that's, for me, the hard thing to swallow.
That was Kentucky head coach John Calipari, arguing that his squad would have won the national championship, which was supposed to happen tonight. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, we'll never know who actually would have won, but we can tell you who we think should have come out on top. On today's show, 538's Neil Payne reveals what happened when the site simulated results for both the men's and women's tournaments, and college basketball analyst Myron Medcalf gives his take. Then we discuss which players could still make an impact at the next level, even if they didn't get to shine in March. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Monday, April 6th. This is ESPN Daily. So in an alternate universe, women's college basketball just had its national championship and the men would be playing tonight. I know both of you have thoughts on what would have happened, but before we get into that, can you both introduce yourselves and tell us what you would have been doing in any other year?
Well, I'm Myron Medcalf, and any other year I'd be covering the Final Four as a senior college basketball reporter with ESPN. I think this would have been my 13th Final Four, and here I am instead in my living room.
And I'm Neil Payne, and yeah, I would have been excited to watch the game tonight and probably also writing about baseball and a million other sports that would have been going on, but now there's nothing going on.
Well, there's not nothing, Neil. Instead of following the actual tournament and then now the championship, you have been simulating what would have happened at 538 where you work. Can you explain to us how you've been doing that?
Yeah, so I guess simulations are all we really have at this point. But basically, we treated it like we would have treated any bracket, which is we created these power ratings for each team on both the men's and women's side, and we simulated out the brackets 10,000 times to get sort of a probability of each team winning each game. But then in this year's twist, because there are no actual results, we basically rolled kind of a 100-sided die and used that result in combination with the probabilities that our model gave to each game to decide who the quote unquote winner was. And then we repeated that for every game in the virtual brackets until we have a winner on both the men's and the women's side.
Well, let's get into it. Who's in the championship and who's going to win?
Well, so the Final Four on the men's side, you've got Kansas against Maryland. Kansas won that one. And then Michigan State against San Diego State, Michigan State won, setting up this titanic matchup between Kansas and Michigan State. Should I say who won in the championship?
Yeah, tell us who won. Tell us who won.
Okay, all right, perfect. In that clash, Michigan State beat Kansas.
Myron, what do you think?
That's cute. You know, I mean, it's a fun simulation and I respect the numbers, but I just don't see it happening. Now, I do think Michigan State was a really good team down the stretch late in the season. Cassius Winston is an All-American. Clearly, they were putting it together at the right time. We all know how time is those teams perform.
Preseason number one, Myron.
True. But I think Kansas was by far the best team in America. Devin Dotson, Udoka Azubuike, that was the best 1-2 combination in the country, the best defense in America.
Yeah.
And they had the best wins, too, especially down the stretch. I think Kansas would definitely win that matchup if it had happened in real life.
But you're okay with the game itself. You think it would have been those two teams?
I don't know. I mean, Michigan State definitely had a chance. It's not crazy to think of Michigan State making a run to the national title game. There was no great team in college basketball. Kansas was as close as we got to that. But certainly it was a possibility that Michigan State ended up making a run to Atlanta.
Neil, can you explain why you think Michigan State got so far according to your model?
Well, you know, I think some of it has to do with the randomness inherent to running a simulation using the dice rolls off of the probabilities. And Michigan State, we should say, good team, Tons of talent. They were the preseason number one team in the country. So I think it also had to do with the kind of weird year in college basketball. And we should say our colleague Joe Lenardi's bracketology were what we used for the seeds and the regions in our bracket. So he had the number one seeds being Kansas, Dayton, Baylor, and Gonzaga. And when we're talking about Dayton and Baylor in particular, these were teams that were not necessarily used to being number one seeds. And in our simulation, both of them went down pretty early as far as number one seeds go. And that opens up a chance for a team like a Michigan State, and for that matter, for a Maryland and a San Diego State to kind of push their way through.
So there's a lot of weirdness and randomness in the model, which does reflect how March Madness typically plays out. When you guys put this together, were there any upsets or surprising results along the way to Michigan State, Kansas?
Dayton falling to Maryland along the path to the Final Four in the Sweet 16 was certainly something that I think a lot of people would not have seen coming. Dayton was a team that I think was sort of a fan favorite for those that were in the know about college basketball. Florida State losing to Maryland also. Maryland was kind of a giant killer in this set of simulations that we ran. They were a two seed in the East. They fell to the Terrapins as well. And then seeing Gonzaga fall to Oklahoma in the Sweet 16, that was a surprising result. Oklahoma being a nine seed. Indiana being able to knock off BYU and Seton Hall and really give San Diego State a run for their money in the Elite Eight is another one that jumped out. We can kind of see these matchups and be like, oh, would that have really happened in real life? I don't think East Tennessee State would have knocked off Duke. That's another big upset that showed up in the model. Then you look back at real March Madness results, and these kind of things do happen all the time. They call it March Madness for a reason.
I'm sorry. You said a lot of upsets there, but the one that's tripping me is East Tennessee State over Duke. I heard that right, yes?
Yeah, that is correct, yeah.
Myron, what do you think? Is there any universe in which that actually happens?
Not one that we currently live in, Mina, but I do think it is a fascinating thought again by my esteemed colleague. Now, I respect East Tennessee State, Steve Forbes, their head coach, great head coach, known around college basketball as a guy you want to lead your team, but Coach K against a team like that, if you look at the history of him facing teams like that, I just think there's just too much talent on that Duke roster for East Tennessee State to get the upset there. But crazy things do happen in the NCAA tournament, so I certainly would expect chaos.
Well, what about Maryland knocking out Dayton and being the tournament Cinderella? Because Myron, last time you and I spoke, speaking of alternate universes, we were talking about how surprising and great Dayton was and how they would be a fun pick for the tournament. What do you think of that upset?
Well, I think I would have picked Dayton in that matchup, but Maryland's a really good team, so anything could have happened there. I'm just disappointed that we didn't get an opportunity to see Obi Toppin and Dayton make a run, because I think they could have been, they're not a Cinderella, they're a number one seed, but they really could have become America's team.
We'll talk about Obi a little later, but I did want to ask you, who would have been your Cinderella pick?
I mean, that's hard to say, but East Tennessee State actually would have been an interesting team considering they got a bunch of veterans.
So you like them?
If you're making me pick a Cinderella, they have a bunch of veterans. And if you look at the history of the tournament, the Cinderellas with veteran players with a lot on the line, kind of their last chance to make a run, those are the teams that usually perform well in those circumstances. So I think they'd certainly be a candidate in this circumstance.
So Eastern Tennessee State is the darling of both of your guys' analysis. Neil, you guys also simulated the women's tournament. What were the results on that side?
So on the road to the Final Four, it was actually all four number one seeds. And we should say the seeds on this side and the bracketology were set by Charlie Cream instead of Joe Lenardi on the women's side. But the one seeds were South Carolina, Maryland, great year for Maryland, Baylor, and Oregon. In those matchups, though, you had a little bit of an upset. So I think most people had their eye on Oregon, but we had Baylor beating Oregon. So bye-bye to Sabrina Ionescu. And then in the other matchup, had South Carolina beating Maryland to set up Baylor versus South Carolina, and Baylor wins for their second consecutive national championship.
Myron, what do you make of that outcome?
Well, it's hard to argue with Baylor just how good they are. Obviously, Lauren Cox is going to be a top three pick. But as a fan, I'd want to see Sabrina. I mean, that to me is the fairy tale ending of the women's college basketball season. Sabrina being sort of the Steph Curry of the field and being a superstar going into her last season, the national championship. So I would have loved to see that, but Baylor was really, really good.
So I feel like Myron gets to simulate the ending that, you know, everybody kind of wanted, whereas Neil has to defend what the model said.
That's the position that I usually find myself in. But we have to remember that this is just one of many, many different multiverses that could have played out. We just picked the one that happened to come up with the dice rolls.
I'm so glad you used the word multiverse on ESPN Daily.
Is that a first?
I think it is. But let's move into the realm of the real world, because while these players and coaches didn't get to compete this year, there's still ramifications for the WNBA, the NBA, and the next college season. Let's talk about that after the break. We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Myron, how are the players and coaches handling this stoppage?
The ones I've talked to are struggling, all of them. You know, a lot of the players went straight home, so they're just trying to figure out how to stay fresh. I mean, the biggest thing now is guys trying to get ready for the next level and not really sure how they can do that, how they get in front of teams. Bill Self with Kansas, I know he's holding Zoom meetings with his staff. He's in the backyard. He's cleaning up his garage. And a couple of weeks ago, he was live tweeting the 2008 national title game between Kansas and Memphis as if it were happening right then and there. So we're all kind of looking for some attachment to sports in this moment, and coaches and players are certainly no different.
So Myron, speaking of Bill Self, he and his Kansas program were potentially facing allegations and punishment from the NCAA after this season. They were, as you pointed out, arguably the best team in the country when college basketball came to a halt. What's the story there?
Well, I think this is a team that was dealing with a lot of drama with the NCAA tournament, NCAA violations. And Bill Self said going into the season, he was as motivated as he had ever been. He felt like his team was the best team in the country. And it's hard to argue against that. And I think certainly that was sort of the motivation for this team throughout the season. Let's prove that the NCAA isn't going to get the win here. Although after the season, Bill Self told me he thought a lot about the NCAA allegations, and it was on his mind constantly, but basketball was kind of the thing that helped the whole team and community escape. It's just interesting how it played out the way they expected until the tournament was canceled, and then who knows what would have happened there. But Bill Self, who knows what happens next season for him? Will the NCAA make their ruling here in the coming months? I think it felt like sort of a potential final ending for Bill Self, depending on what happens in this investigation.
How does a team like that handle the lost opportunity, right? The very real possibility that they would have won. How do they even wrap their minds around that?
I know Kansas has met about somehow commemorating the season for the team. Bill Self kind of joked. He laughed. He said, yeah, we would gladly accept a national championship if they decided to do that. I tweeted that Kansas deserved the national championship, and a lot of people got upset with that. But the reality is, I mean, if this were 1990s college football, Kansas would be the national champion, right? Yeah. So it's interesting because now you've got coaches around the country, programs around the country, who could all make the case that they would have won the national championship And no one can really argue against that.
That makes me think about Central Florida a few years ago, where they put up the championship banner and they had championship rings also, where they were like, look, nobody beat us. Yeah. Who says we're not the national champs?
Yeah.
Well, the absence of this tournament matters not only to these college programs and players, but also to the NBA, right? Because some of these players will be drafted and we won't get to watch them. Myron, I was wondering which college basketball stars you thought would have broken out during the tournament and will probably be affected by this?
There are a number of guys who maybe could have been in that position, but we'll never know. But I think Obi Toppin at Dayton suffers the most just because I think he would have had the stage to himself. By ESPN.com's mock draft, 10 out of the 13 top picks probably wouldn't have made the NCAA tournament. Now, a lot of that has to do with guys like LaMelo Ball playing overseas. You got Memphis with James Wiseman and a couple other guys who would have been in the mix, but it really would have been his show. And a lot of people know Obi Toppin from Dayton, only lost 2 games all year. He's a superstar, might have won the Wooden Award, but a lot of people have not seen him play. You know, he doesn't go to Duke or Kentucky or Kansas. But this would have been an opportunity for Obi Toppin to become a household name in college basketball. And I think that would have meant a lot for him beyond the sport. He's going to be a top 10 pick regardless. But everything else attached to being a star, that's what he misses out on by not participating in the NCAA tournament.
And that's such a great point. With the void of a clear number one pick, this was the perfect year to be one of those college guys that leads your team on a surprise run in the NCAA tournament and really boost your draft stock. If you could have picked any year to do it, this would have been the perfect opportunity, I think.
Right. I mean, I think of Ja Morant, the ostensible NBA Rookie of the Year, who broke out in a huge way during the tournament last year and became a bit of a household name.
Yeah, Ja was a big deal. I mean, I covered Ja in the first and second rounds in Hartford, Connecticut. The first game, stadium was about half full. There were a lot of people who were interested in him. Then he beats Marquette. Second game, you couldn't get into the building. Press row was filled. There were NBA scouts everywhere. And when he left the Florida State game that they lost, he was doing interviews nonstop. Mm-hmm. He wasn't with his team because he had suddenly become a star. I think that could have happened with Obi and Dayton, too, if we'd had an NCAA tournament.
Who are some of the guys a level below Obi who you think could have really increased their profiles in the tournament?
You know, I look at guys like Malachi Flynn, who plays for San Diego State, a Final Four team in Neil's model. Right now, Malachi Flynn's a guy who projected second round pick, but if he has a big tournament, who knows what would have happened for him? I mean, I think that was another guy who had a chance to change his future potentially.
Yeah, you know, if people pay attention to who our simulations have, like Myron was saying, Malachi Flynn, you don't have San Diego State making the Final Four without him having a big performance. So you never know.
On the women's side, how important is the tournament to the draft? Have you seen players in the past have their draft stock radically affected by having big tournaments?
I think you see that sometimes, but also in the women's game, it's so much clearer who the top players are. And especially in this particular case with Sabrina Ionescu, she was just the no-brainer number one pick. And she really came back just to specifically have another shot at the championship. So it's sad to see her lose that, but she will be number one and go to the New York Liberty regardless of what would have happened in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are obviously other good players, not just Sabrina. Lauren Cox at Baylor and what they were able to do last year. I mean, she got hurt in the title game a year ago, and here she is back healthy. Mm-hmm. You need sort of that one person that can kind of carry the torch. And Sabrina, I think, will do that. But if she plays in the NCAA tournament in front of the world, I think certainly that torch gets even bigger for her because a lot of people are looking forward to seeing what she might have done.
Yeah, Neil, how do you see the absence of a tournament affecting the women's game overall, which has made such strides recently?
Yeah, it's really a tough break. Just talking about women's basketball in general, which had so much momentum coming out of last year. You saw a lot of people focusing on the WNBA and it getting more attention than I feel like it ever has. Now, with all the men's leagues getting kind of pushed back, you see the NBA and the NHL have requested these arena dates deep into the summer. It's not really clear how the WNBA is going to kind of squeeze into that. We're talking about the trickle-down effect of the coronavirus crisis. You know, the big sports are going to be be okay, even if they'll have to get creative about how they finish their seasons. But it's a sport like the WNBA that's really kind of was surging in growth that might see that stall out as a result of all of this chaos kind of descending on the sports world.
So I have to ask, with no actual championship tonight, what will you both be doing instead?
You want to go first, Myron?
Sure. For me, it's clear. Ozark season 3 is taking up a lot of my time, and I'm going to be right back in that. You know, I keep thinking about the fact that I'm usually in Atlanta right now or wherever the Final Four is, and I'm not there, and that's kind of sad. But I'll be binging season 3 of Ozark.
Yeah, and I'll probably be doing something similar. I still have to finish Tiger King, so we'll see how that goes.
I'm also watching season 3 of Ozark. And if we don't get a new season after that, Neil, I might need you to simulate us one.
Right. Yeah. We're always here to simulate things that don't actually happen.
Thanks so much, guys. I'll talk to you later. Coming up, across the world, sports have come to a standstill, except in one defiant country. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Most of the world, live sports are completely shut down due to the risk of spreading coronavirus, except in Belarus. It's a former Soviet republic right next to Lithuania and Poland, and teams there are still playing sports. Arthur Petrosian, a journalist who's based in Moscow, wrote about this phenomenon for ESPN.com a week and a half ago. So I wanted to have him on to ask, Arthur, what is happening right now in Belarus in the world of sports?
In Belarus, just like in Russia, there are two most popular sports, which are football and ice hockey. Football is still being played.
So unlike every other country in Europe, they are continuing to have soccer games.
Yeah. They are much just ended a few minutes ago. The only change that has been made, they don't shake hands anymore with other players, but football is you have a lot of contacts during the game and you may touch your opponent 100 times. So it doesn't matter if you shake his hand before the match or not. And obviously they worry. They worry about themselves and their families.
What is it like there when these soccer games are happening? Are there fans in the stands?
And the first two match weeks, actually, not much was different to the previous season. But 2 days ago, a few fan groups issued statements that they're going to stop attending matches.
So there has been some blowback.
The most popular club in Belarus, they only had 40 or 50 fans this last match week with the capacity of their stadium of around 13,000.
Why is this happening in Belarus?
You have to ask the president. His name is Alexander Lukashenko. He's been the president of the country since 1994. When the coronavirus thing started, he had a speech and he said that it's just another psychosis which will benefit some people and harm others. And instead of panicking, one should just have 40, 50 grams of vodka daily, go to a banya, which is a Russian sauna, and keep working, keep working hard. That's what he said.
Has the soccer league in Belarus gotten more attention?
Yeah, that's what's happening, actually, and it benefits Belarusian football. It was impossible to even imagine that Russia or Ukraine could purchase the rights to broadcast their football. The national team is only 87th in the world. Now, nearly all the world is watching Belarus.
How bad is the coronavirus pandemic in Belarus?
You never know. Officially, it's just 8 people died. Officially, those most people who have died in the past few weeks died from pneumonia. So they don't call it the coronavirus.
How long do you think this can keep going, that they'll continue to have soccer games?
Obviously, if they finally suspend the league, the president of the country will have to say something, and he will have to say that he was wrong. And I've never heard him saying anything like that. Maybe if there's some pressure from other countries, from the UEFA or FIFA, maybe they will think of suspending the league, but there hasn't been anything yet. So I really don't know.
Thanks so much, Arthur.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.